Now, for all of those of you in video land, here is the new booklet, What the Bible Teaches on Clean and Unclean Meats. You'll be getting yours in the next mailing. Now, as you look at it, what you have is this. You have three fish with fins and scales. You have a Holstein cow. And then you have a pigeon or turtle dove. Those are all clean. Okay, so it's clean and unclean meats. On the other side, you have a giant shrimp, you have a hog, and you have an eagle, unclean. So the theme follows all the way through. And this covers a lot of things that we need to know about clean and unclean meats. And when I was up north, I did a Bible study which covered some of the things also contained in the book about clean and unclean meats, covered it in a little more detail. Well, as you're watching the news, and of course everyone's wanting to know what's going to happen with the election in Greece. Now, Greece is quite a study. Compared to the Germans work and retire at the earliest at age 67. The Greeks work, belong to a union, work for the country, and retire at 50. In addition to that, their economy is very poor shape. They are totally, absolutely broke. So broke that no one wants to loan them any money. And the Greeks are so upset that at 50, they have to go back to work and there's no work. And they're confronted with a lot of problems. And one of the major problems is there are a lot of suicides by men who can't find work. Now then you add to that Italy, Spain, Portugal, and you might as well add France in there because it's going to be joined pretty quickly with what's going on. So here are a couple articles. I won't go through them very much, but here's one. Italy's oldest and fourth largest bank, Bank Network Investments, ran out of money and declared a bank holiday. It's like the joke that was sent out about a year ago. If you get a notice for your checking account, insufficient funds, you can take care of that. But when you go to the bank and they say, we're out of money, now you're in trouble. So it's coming to America. How many people have been warning? It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. See? So maybe one morning you're going to wake up and guess what you're going to find? ATM says your allotment for today is $20. Seeing with all the controls they have, they can put on limits very quickly. Now what they're afraid of with what the election in Greece is going to do is that they're going to vote to come out of the European Union and get rid of the euro. Now, they just might do that. But a little known, very rarely publicized fact, but it has happened. Iceland fired the whole government, everybody, from top to bottom, because they went bankrupt. And the loans that they were getting, they were charging exorbitant interest. So they fired everybody, declared a total state bankruptcy, and are starting again. Now, who knows what'll happen? How are these things going to work? They also have other problems because the so-called rich nations, United States and Europe and the United Kingdom, can't hold all things together either because they have lots of debt. And we have a president who is totally oblivious to any accounting concerning anything. And he is acting as if he's got all the world's money in his hip pocket. That won't work either. So they had been kind of depending on the BRIC nations. You ever heard of the BRIC nations? Okay, that's Brazil, India, Russia, and China. Okay? Well, their economies are not going so good. Now, they really don't know what to do, because we're right at the same position we were in 1930. So, whenever you have debt money, and I'll explain that in just a little bit. Debt money means this. You create money by first creating a note. And for the nations, it's called a security. So just say $1 million. Okay. Then you sell that note and you get $1 million. Well, you haven't earned anything. You haven't produced anything. And now you owe $1 million. And every paper money bill that you have is a Federal Reserve note. Now, I've got a little wallet here, and I carry it in my pocket as a reminder of what happened in the past. I think I've shown this to you before, haven't I? Yes. I think it's in here. Yes. There it is. Now, I want to show you something, because this is what soon's going to happen to our currency. This is a 100,000 mark note from the Weimar Republic, 1930. It got so bad that they had to pay all the workers cash at 10, 2, and 4. And it got so bad that they couldn't print the money fast enough, so they resorted to rubber stamping with a higher denomination. Take a 100,000 note, stamp on it, $1 million. Now, the United States is about ready to get itself in really deep, deep trouble financially, because we've been selling all of our securities to get the money to pay for the $1.2 to $4 trillion per year debt. Okay? Let's keep it in simple terms. You make $80 a week, but it costs you $140 to live. So you borrow $60 every week, and you keep doing this. You just keep signing new notes. Well, the day is going to come when the person who is giving you the money and accepting the note is going to say, no, I can't do it anymore. You can't pay me back. Well, Greece has already reached that point. They can't borrow any more money. They don't have enough money. It's all paper money anyway. It's all a bunch of lies just floating around and accepted as money. See? Money, real money, is gold and silver. Now, what they do is this. When they issue a security, then that gives them so much money. They put this money into the banking system. Now, when no one buys them, then the Federal Reserve buys them, and they print money to put that into circulation. So this is going to cause a lot of hyperinflation. And that's why this German note was 100,000 marks. And that was in 1930. But by the time everything collapsed in 1933, there wasn't enough paper to make enough money to buy even the simplest of goods. Now, you also have another problem. When you try restricting spending, or let's put it this way, when you hold back on allowing people to borrow money, then you're not creating money by lending to them that goes into the banking system. Okay? Now, this created a real difficulty here, because the money supply in the United States virtually came to a screeching halt. It dropped in 1 month, on the figures that they have, 61.2 to 49.9. Now, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to raise enough money. Spain is too big for Europe to solve. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen on Monday. See, because the truth is, the American banks getting 0% interest loans from the Federal Reserve bought a lot of those European notes when they got the bailout. So everybody's intertwined with everybody else. Okay? Now, Germany really doesn't know what to do. And I don't think Germany, nor the Federal Reserve, nor the International Monetary Fund, nor the World Bank, nor the Bank of England, nor the Swiss Bank, or the Bank of International Settlement can solve it. So we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows when the problems are going to really get worse. There are no jobs. Real unemployment is about 18%. People say between 14 and 25%, depending on which age group you're looking at. Well, in Spain, it's 25%. No. Italy, it's 25%. What are you going to do? So where is all of this going to go? Let's first of all ask, why do we have this? Why is the world in the mess that it is in? All right, let's come to Revelation 12 and verse 9. Here's why. See, when men tell God they don't want God in their lives or in their system, then they give themselves over to Satan the devil, and Satan the devil is called the god of this world in the Bible. Now, he is the one who invented what is called fractional lending. Now, fractional lending means this. You say you have so much money in the bank that you're going to loan, and you have to have a reserve of, say, 10%, because they have done the analysis and they know that if you have money in the bank, no more than 12% of the money that's deposited in the bank is ever really asked for. It stays in there. Okay? So you make a loan for $1 million. The person who has the loan puts the money back into the bank, and that comes into the bank as $1 million deposit, and it is backed only by $100,000. Now, with the new $1 million deposit, now you can loan out 90% of that. And that comes back as a deposit, and you loan out 90% of that. And pretty soon, you've loaned out 90% on so many different bases of money that now you are down to where it is in the banks in Europe. $40 in outstanding debt for $1 in bank reserves. Okay? The whole world has been deceived in this system. So let's read it here, verse 9. Here's the one who's behind it. And the great serpent was cast out, the great dragon, rather, was cast out, the ancient serpent who is called Satan and the devil, who is deceiving the whole world. Okay? When you stop and ask the question, who knows God? Well, when you eliminate all of those who say they know God, but they don't know God, and you get down to those who really believe in the true God, you're down to a very minuscule number of people in the world. The whole world is deceived, okay? In every conceivable way. Now, it's deceived in government. How are the governments working? Can you point out one good government on earth? Okay. Deceived in religion. Who knows the truth? Who understands God? Deceived in economics. We're at the point that the whole world economy can collapse. And we know, as I've given in other sermons, it's going to happen. But I think all of this has caught them by surprise as coming considerably faster than the timetable that the power elite. Now, who are the power elite? These are the ones who rule the world under Satan the devil. The super rich. Okay? So they don't know what to do. They're not prepared yet. We know a world currency is coming, but the system has not been set up to work yet. And we're going to see what is going to happen. And we're going to see all of this comes as judgment by God. Now also, to add into the way that Satan deceives the world, he's deceived the world through education. Now then, that sets us up for where we are today. High unemployment, not creating new jobs, not knowing how to manage the economy. Now, there are a few bright lights. What happened in Wisconsin is a bright light. What's happening in Texas is a bright light. But that doesn't mean that's going to solve the world's problem, because you have the world sitting on minimum, immediate minimum, $16 trillion worth of U.S. debt. That does not count the trillions for Social Security, nor the trillions for Medicare. So Satan is the one who deceives. Now, let's take a look and see what happens on an individual level when that occurs. Let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Since we're living in the last days, this tells us what it's going to be like and what the cause is. And this is the society that we have created in the world today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Look at the world. Look at the cities. Look at the neighborhoods. For men shall be lovers of self. They will all be focused in on themselves, me, myself, and I, instead of God. Lovers of money. Oh, they want money. They want to get rich. And I tell you what, if you think that Bernie Madoff really was a crook, the world banking system makes him look like a teeny little flea in the corner. Lovers of money. Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That reminds me of the generation that is coming up today. The majority of the generation today are techno ignoramus entitlementists. They want everything given to them. They think they're smart because they can work a cell phone, but they can't spell. They think they're cool because they know certain songs. I told you I wouldn't pick on you today. But you see this all the time. Sure. They have been debased into having sex as early as the school system could educate them in. And so if things go from bad to worse, we're going to have riots just like they had in Greece. Only worse. And remember, in Greece, the populace cannot have guns. So think about what it's going to be here. Okay, without natural affection, is the country promoting homosexuality? As fast as it can. Implacable. You can't face them. You can't shame them. You can't cause them to repent. Slanderers. Without self-control. Savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If you don't believe that, just watch all the sports, watch all the activities, watch the things that people do. Okay? That's all part of being deceived. Rather than being taught there is a God, you're created by Him, He's given you choice, here's what you need to learn, it's right and wrong, good and evil. Now, if you want your life to be a success, then you follow God's way. And then you see, God would bless the nation. Now, let's see how God deals with the nations, because God isn't God rules over all the nations through Satan and his demons, through God and his angels, through the governments that are here. Okay? So let's see something here very important. Let's come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. And of course, as we have explained, all of God's laws work all the time automatically, just like the law of gravity. So when God looks down at a nation, he views the whole thing. Now remember this, God knows every sparrow that falls, so God knows every human being that exists. And remember when he killed the firstborn, Passover night in Egypt, man and beast, he knew which one was the firstborn, right? How could he kill him? Unless he knew. All right. So you can't hide from God. See? Verse 7. Here's how God does to the nations. He's talking about the house of Israel here. He says, if at any time I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. So the question concerning what kind of judgment is coming upon us with the upcoming election is based upon how many people are turning from evil. How many people are willing to do good? Now, God isn't going to judge them totally like he does those in the church. He will judge them by his Ten Commandments based on the letter of the law and based on their honesty. Now, to show you how the scale is so close to tipping in the wrong way, there has been just a little recovery in the recall election in Wisconsin. Look at what they did to Scott Walker because he wanted to stop all the profligate spending. He wanted to cut back on the greediness of the unions. He wanted to cut back on 100% state contribution for pensions and wanted those who were receiving the pensions to pay 6%. The governor of New Jersey, he asked him to pay 1.5% and he had riots. So the question is, how many people through loss of job, through problems in their lives, are going to quit doing evil? That's the question. If they do, God says, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. Now, how is God going to do that? Because some people won't. Well, it's just like how Abraham negotiated with God. He was going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham came to God and said, oh, Lord, you're the judge of the whole earth and you are righteous. Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? He said, no, I won't. He said, well, what if there are 50 righteous? I won't destroy. And then Abraham negotiated all the way down to 10. Okay? Couldn't find 10. Ended up only 3. Lot was 2 daughters. So if it turned from the evil, God said, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. If at any time I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build it or to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, that it not obey my voice, then I will repent of the good with which I said I would do them good. Now you can just take these verses here and just kind of remember what they are. Watch your news. See what's happening in different nations. And you will know what the situation is. Now let's see how this works in practical terms, and then we will get to the money factors a little bit later. Let's come to Deuteronomy 28. Now you see, God loves us, just like he did Israel. He set before Israel life and good, death and evil. Told them to choose life, that they could live, that God would bless them. Everyone wants the blessings, don't they? Yes, the ignoramus entitlement generation wants everything. See? They want to do anything they desire to do, and boy, Just think where we would be if they legalized pot. Oh, let's get rid of cigarettes. Let's legalize pot. Is there some kind of insanity going on? Yes. So here's the proposition for all nations on the earth, every person in their individual lives. We have to make choices. Come to the age of accountability, you can't say, Mom did it, Dad did it, you know, Grandpa did it. God is going to say, you. Now, here they were, ready to go onto the promised land, and so God wanted to give them a message to remember going into the land, because God owns the whole earth. He's the one who put the nations where they are. So the same thing applies to all nations. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. And of course, that's the whole basis of the Bible that we've covered many times. Obey my voice. It's all recorded here in the Bible. You want to know what God wants of you? It's here. The nation wants to know what God wants of them to do? It's here. Plus, America's in double jeopardy. Because in our Constitution, we brought in the Creator God. And we said certain inalienable rights only come from the Creator. So here's what God said. To observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is what everyone wants. Now, as I read this very quickly, I want to think about your city, your country, where you're living, what's happening. Think of the different nations of the world. Think of how they are. Think of what's happening in Syria. Think of what's happening in Egypt. Think of what's happening in Mexico. Think of what's happening in Darfur. Think of what's happening in Nigeria. Okay. Are they blessed? God said, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your livestock, the increase of your cattle, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Whew! That's something? Remember this, there are people in the world today who don't know when they're going to get their next crumb of bread from where. And you go home and open your refrigerator and it's stuffed from the bottom to the top and your freezers are full and your shelves are full. Huh? Okay. Now here's another blessing. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Now that's not working too good today, is it? Why is that? The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, all that you set your hand to do. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord God gives you, and God placed all the nations in the lands where they were. And also, go back and look at the history of the people. As you think about it, what were their economics? What were their gods? Okay? How did they structure the family? How did they obey even the principles of God, even if they didn't know them? Because God will recognize good where anybody does it, even if he hasn't given them his law. But today, with so many Bibles in the world, no one's without excuse. The Lord shall establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And that marks out the United States of America more than any other country today. And we are going down, 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 aren't we? Yes. So then he says, verse 11, the Lord shall make you abound in goods. Do we have it? Yes, we do. And the fruit of your body, the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your ground, and the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heaven to give rain to your land in its season, and bless all the work of your hand. You shall loan to many nations, you shall not borrow. Whoa. Did you know that that ended in 1982 with the United States of America? We were the world's greatest creditor nation until 1982. Now, who has the wealth and is lending to us? Our friends? Think about it. See, this is not to get mad and castigate anybody, put anybody down, to shame anybody, but it's just a matter of look. If we're mature adults, we ought to be able to look at the facts from the Word of God and discern what's going on and know that where we're headed is in a disastrous way. It's not going to work. Okay? The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be always above, and you shall not be beneath if. And I've said many times, circle the little ifs as you go through. See? If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today to observe and to do them. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I've commanded you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Okay? Now, if you want God's blessings, you've got to do it God's way. Isn't that true? Yes. You can't go your own way and then demand of God to bless you. Now, notice verse 15. Another if. Then after that comes a whole host of things that are actively taking place in the world and in our country today. Just to give you a little measure of example what happened. Remember there was an election in France? Okay. What was the theme? No more austerity, because French President Sarkozy was going to start cutting back on the welfare to Muslims. So guess who voted in Hollande? The Muslims. And it shows a picture of all the youth in France, all the different flags from all the different nations, of all of those who were so happy that the socialist who promised no more austerity, because see, he was also going to up the retirement age from 62 to 65. Oh, what a terrible thing. You can't do that. See, so what happens when you leave God? Verse 15. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. You have cities you don't even want to go into? Mm-hmm. Trenton, New Jersey, or is it Camden? I forget which. Don't go there. It's run by the druggies. You go there, if they don't know you, lucky to get out alive. Cursed shall you be in the field. There we are. We may have abundant crops, but we have food that's increasingly unfit to eat because of genetic engineering. Oh, yes, God, you don't know very much about things. So what we're going to do, we're going to take your genes that you put in these plants, and we're going to mix them all up, and we're going to improve on you. And now we have it, food's unfit. Did you know that they have a method of putting Roundup in the genetic code so that bugs will not eat the plant? But when you eat the seed, guess where the Roundup goes? Boop. Cursed shall be your basket and your store. I want you to think about this for a minute, because most people don't think on bigger terms. All the forest fires we're having in Colorado, literally burning the state down, New Mexico, Arizona. Have you ever watched the special on where the Dust Bowl began in the 30s? And all of that was punishment from God because of what we were doing. It began in Colorado. And if you watch that special, that dust became absolutely killer. And one storm, finally, after they pleaded with the government to do something, one storm stirred up such a huge cloud of dust that from Colorado through Oklahoma and Kansas, that cloud went all the way back to Washington, D.C., and dumped all of the dust. So the lawmakers finally said, oh, we got to do something. See? That's an education. You watch that. Doris and I have watched that. She has relatives that lived through it. Okay? You look at the houses they had. You look at their living standard that they have. You look at the clothes that they have. Compare it with what you have now and then ask yourself the question, could I live in circumstances like that? Okay. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your livestock and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord shall send on you cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that you set your hand to do until you're destroyed. Does that not sound like Washington, D.C.? They cannot get anything done. They're so fighting against each other that they, you know, I doubt if they could even agree on which letters of the alphabet ought to be included. Okay? Because of the wickedness of your doing. The Lord shall make pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you go to possess it. The Lord shall strike you with lung disease, with fever, with inflammation, extreme burning, with the sword, with blasting, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Is that true? Has that happened? Now, I know these are not lovely words. These are not sweet, kind words that you want to hear on the Sabbath day so you can go home and feel better. See? But we need to understand these things are coming. And we need to understand how it's going to come. And we need to realize that every word that is in here in Deuteronomy 28 is going to happen. All right? Now, when you read that, don't let yourself get too depressed. Because it's hard reading. And if you think Deuteronomy 28 is hard reading, let me tell you something. You read the book of Lamentations. You ever read the book of Lamentations? You might do that. It happened twice. All the old civilizations of the past are gone because God had to do this to them. And every one of them thought it would never happen to them. But it did. We're right at the same point. So what I'm saying is nothing more than many other people are saying that's going to happen if we don't wake up. And first, we've got to straighten out our lives individually before God. And then we've got to straighten out the finances by quit borrowing money. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break.